Good morning. What a joy it is to be here today. And I know some of you all have come just to hear my jokes or my stories. I was driving here, so you heard Jenny, the Reverend Jenny. I signed her certificate or ordination. Mentioned that my bride, I thank your congregation for walking with me through the years, and I'm going to ask my beautiful wife if she could stand, because everybody didn't see you, Charlotte. Turn around. Amen. Just want to encourage those of you that go through the death of a loved one that God is faithful, and we met at the intersection of being kind. I coined that because, you know, I'm a preacher, but we were both doing something nice for someone, and that's how our lives intersected and dated for a couple of years, and God bless us to get married. And coming up on that first year anniversary, yes, coming up on that, I'm happy to be here. As we were driving, I said to her, you know, this is one of my favorite churches, and she said, why? I said, I told her there's so many things, the staff, the leadership development I see going on here. And then I said, the young people that sit behind me before I preach. And I've been down through the years for almost 10 years now watching the young people sit behind me. Now, I don't know if they're talking about me. I don't know if they're praying for me. I don't know if they're saying, what's going on? But I know that they're behind me, because there's a lot of churches where there are no young people nowhere. So you all should celebrate your young people. And young people, this is going to hurt you. I used to be like you. Always had gray hair since I was 8 years old, so... And they used to call me old man and all that kind of stuff. But you get through those times. But many of us here in this church used to be just like you. We don't have your story that's personalized. But trust us, the success, the failures, the maturation process, many in this congregation been through it. So if you ever go through something, talk to the older adults. That's how my life was impacted. I would always hang with the older adults at the church. We had a big old oak tree sitting next to the church. And I would see the men over there, and I would go over there and say, what's happening? What's going on? Get out of here. Get out of here. Then one day they said, why do you keep coming over here? I said, because I want to learn so I don't mess up my life. Okay, come on in here. And they just began to pour into my life when I was real, real young. So what a blessing it is to see you all. I want to thank Pastor Greg, who's not here, allowing me to be here today. What a blessing he is. I want to also thank Sherry. I'm not sure if she's here or with him, but thank her as well. Want to just thank all the ministers who are here and individuals that I dealt with down through the years, and we're still colleagues in ministry today. What a blessing you are. What a blessing many of you are to see you on today. So I want to talk about something that's really affecting our churches. Not pastoring anymore at the state level, ministers and church leaders, and not pastoring a congregation anymore, in which I did for over 20-some years, I have been seeing something that's I want to talk about today. And Mike did a good job at the worship. He brought me in, set me up front. Yeah, you can give him a clap. I have seen your evolution of worship leaders down through the years. Mike did a great job, and the first song really goes along with my message today and the whole spirit of the worship. Thank you, those that led in worship today. But I sent to them in advance my sermon because I want to talk about miracles today. I mean, miracles, you know, those extraordinary, inexplicable things that happen, physical or scientifically, that you just simply can't explain, but they happen. And we talked about the God of miracles, or saying about the God of miracles through our worship today. But here's my problem. There's not enough miracles happening in the body of Christ. Not enough miracles happening in our church, in our congregations, and in this world. And so I'm hoping today, in my time that Mike told me I have, don't cut out the mic, Tim, in the back there. In the time that Mike told me I have, and I want to talk about miracles because I want your church to have more miracles. I want you as an individual to experience more miracles. Why? Because our Heavenly Father is the God who can do all things but fail. And if we have that kind of Father, why do we not have more miracles? So I'm going to use the scripture. This is not going to be about Demetrius. This is going to be about the text. And so in our text today that we're going to read, the sermon says in John 6, 1 through 13, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." This is an interesting story that I'm going to try to unpack for you. Many of us have heard about the boy with the two fish and five loaves of bread. Many of us heard that story. But this particular chapter in John is different from, as we look at Matthew 15 and Mark 8. In Matthew 15 and Mark 8, Jesus healed 4,000 people. In this particular chapter, he heals 5,000. And I shouldn't say people, that would be theologically incorrect. Men, ladies back then, they didn't count the women. And they didn't count the children. So it was way more than that. But in this particular text, Jesus, the Bible said, healed fed 5,000 people. That's a lot of people. Any of you work on the kitchen committee? Any of you volunteer to be servers? That's a lot of people to feed. Sometimes we spiritualize things too much. That's more people that can fit in this sanctuary. A lot of people. And Jesus fed them. Now you hear about the boy, but I want to talk about the miracle. There's three elements that I want to connect you with. If you want to have more miracles in your life, in this church, in your community, in your family. And it's, if you do this and you don't get miracles, come find me. I'm not going to give them my address, but come find me and say, "Reverend Demetrius," or "Brother Demetrius," or "Booker," or whatever you want to say, and say it didn't work. And if it doesn't work, I'll say you have a relationship problem with God, not with the hearing of the sermon. Okay, you got that? Write that down. I see some of you writing. So I want to talk about element one. Okay, Mike, how much time I got? Okay, I see it. He's going to get me later. Gina, that's all right. Okay, element one. In this text that we read, it talks about those who provide. If you're going to have a miracle, you got to have a person that's going to provide. In this text, it says there was a young man. A young man. Let's read the text. Verse 8. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. Now, when it said barley loaves, it's not talking about the grain. A barley is known as like a 7-inch. Like some of you get that 6-inch submarine. So it's like a 7-inch kind of bread. And he had these this fish. And Simon, he said, hey, he's got it. Now, you know Simon Peter. It's like he's going to go take it. Yeah, we can do that. The young boy, he was the provider. He's not who you expect to feed 5,000 plus people. No way. But how did he get the fish and the bread? We don't know. The text doesn't tell us that. But we do know this point. He was blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. What he received from God was to help others along the way. I bet some of you have some things in your life that God has blessed you with, and what are you doing with it? Enjoying life. Spending your money on what you want to do, where you want to go. Have you ever thought that God has blessed you to be a blessing for others? I'm not going to tell you about your life because I don't know that much about your life, but I know in my life, I support multiple missionaries. Why? Because God has given me money, and I know the missionaries are out there working, and they need money to do their ministry. I know that when the church take an offering up, that the money that I give is going to help ministries. See, I drank from the communion cup, Jenny, when I was real young. That's in the church. That's called drinking the Kool-Aid. But I drank from the communion cup. I fell in love with God. I fell in love with the church. I fell in love with ministry. And what one thing the church taught me is that I'm blessed to be a blessing to others. My time, my talent, my resources is not just for me to enjoy the good life. It's to be a blessing for others. So this young kid, he leaves home. I don't know if he had to work. I don't know if there was school. I don't know whatever. But he ends up at this greatest event of all time where Jesus, it was greater than that basketball game yesterday. Jesus Christ was speaking. He was the main attraction. This young boy show up. He's got his meal. He's enjoying what's going on. And then all of a sudden, he finds out, hey, we need your food. Huh? This, my mama gave me this. Or my daddy gave me this. Yeah, but we got to feed all these people. Huh? I'm saying this because there are many of you here today. You didn't know it, but God blessed you recently, down the road, in the past, to be a blessing for others. Can you imagine that young man going home? Mom, Dad, guess what happened today? Oh, tell us your story. You know how young people are. Mom, I went to this place. This guy named Jesus was preaching, and they ran out of food. They didn't have a concession stand. I was the concession stand. Well, How many people you feed? Everybody. In my vernacular, everybody. I fed everybody, Mom, with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Yes, I did. Whatever you have, your small part, whatever's going on, God has made you the provider. Start providing. Start providing. Start giving so that God can bless those around, those in the church, those in the community. Start providing. Element number 2. Not only element number 1 is those who provide, but in this text, there are those who consume. Those who consume. Those who consume, according to the text here, verse 10, Jesus said, have the people to sit down. I love this text here, Jenny. Reverend. Have the people to sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. To sit down means to acknowledge that you're not in charge. You're not in control. You're not always knowing and not all knowing. To sit down is a way of showing that you are humble. It's an act of your faith. Those who sat down got fed. Now look at this next verse, verse 11. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. You notice that part? Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated. He told the disciples, tell them to sit down. Part of miracles is humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves. Doing what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. Taking the advice of maybe your spiritual leader that's telling you, have you tried this? Have you done that? Miracles come from being humble. I have pastored for many years, as I mentioned to you, and people come to me with problems and stories of tragedy. And I say, have you tried that? I'm not trying that. I don't care what happened. I'm not trying that. Sometimes it's a simple, you know, someone lost their job. Why don't you just go back and tell your boss you're sorry? I can't do that. Well, why can't you do that? I got my pride. You're in trouble. Could you at least say, I'm sorry? I can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because I was right, they were wrong. Many of us have not experienced the blessings of God because we don't want to sit down. We don't want to humble ourselves. Now, can you imagine someone in that group when the disciples go by, hey, you, sit down. I'm not sitting down. You're not going to eat. Okay, I'll sit down. I'll sit down. As you consider this boy that had the means, because God took his 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and fed all these people, and the commandment that was given to them was tell the people to sit down and we'll feed them. I have found in my Christian life, my Christian experience, when the blessings of God were not flowing, it was a problem oftentimes with me. I said, okay, Lord, what's going on? I said something, I did something, I'm doing something. Talk to me, Lord, because you are the God of miracles. I want some of those miracles, Lord. And I have found out I had to do something, say something, go somewhere I didn't want to go in order for God to bless. Church, God doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, who your parents are. If God tells you to do something, do it. He's in charge. Remember God told Moses when Moses see this burning fire at the bush and he don't know what's going on. And then God said, take off your shoes. You're on holy land. Now, what would have happened? Moses said, I'm not taking off my shoes. Have you seen my feet? What did Moses do? He humbled himself. I dare say that people that you look at with miraculous healings, maybe job opportunities, maybe God turned their family around. I bet if you ask them something, a lot of what they would say starts with humility. They did what the Holy Spirit said to do. They followed where the angel sent them to. What is the first part of a miracle? Element number one, provide. Element number two, that you are a consumer. I think all of us here would find ourselves in need of something at some time in life. Recognize that, but then say, Lord, what do I need to do to get out of this? That's how I lived my life. If something was going wrong, I said, God is trying to get my attention. He's trying to get me to do something. Okay, Lord, what is it that I'm missing? And if I don't get it, I said, Lord, tell somebody to come talk to me. And guess what? They would come talk to me and tell me what I'm not doing right or what I could do. Well, the humbling or sitting down, if you sit down, God will stand up. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They humbled themselves, and they allowed God to bless them, and God blessed them indeed, didn't he? Ask Daniel when he was in the lion's den, did God stand up for him? Yes, he did. Daniel humbled himself. He didn't go crazy. He said, okay, if this is happening to me, this is time for miracle, and I'm going to let God do his thing. Daniel sat down, humbled himself, and God stood up for him. Ask the 5,000 plus people who got fed that day, and they'll tell you, oh, yes, we did what they told us to do. That's the only thing we had to do was sit down, and they brought us the food. We don't know how they did it, but it worked out. I'm speaking to someone today as I move on. Maybe God is not blessing you because you're not humble. Talk to God about that. Talk to one of your spiritual leaders about that. Because God truly is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, far above that which we could ask or think. My last part, I think I'm doing all right, Mike. To those, element number three. How do you get a miracle? Those who serve. Those who serve follow directions. And they don't stop until they fulfill God's directions. Verse 12, here we go. When they had all eaten enough, or had enough to eat, he said to his disciple, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten them. Wow. Here we go. This is, how many folks here, you're not going to put your hand up, but the element of a miracle requires that somebody has to serve. Somebody has to be a servant. God blessed these folks to eat. And Jesus said to his disciples, okay, go get the rest of the food. I mean, that's right there is a miracle. 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. They feed 5,000 plus people, and they got leftovers. I'm glad I got a couple of chuckles there. Christ used his disciples to serve 5,000 people. God will give you the wherewithal to serve the people that he placed you around. God will give you the wherewithal to be victorious to the servants, to those who serve. You don't have to be a minister. You could be a volunteer. You can be a person helping somebody. God will give you everything you need. But here's the point I learned in my life. Servers go last. That's what the text says. God is using his disciples for this magnificent miracle. And guess what? They were a part of it, but what? They got served last. One of the problems with miracles is that we want ours first. The Lord is saying, I want you to go do this. I want you to go do that. And then we say, well, I don't, you know, I got things to do out there. You know, God is going to take care of you. He's using you as an instrument of his peace. You are the hands and feet of Jesus, but you get served last. So the disciples, they're feeding all these people, and they didn't eat yet. But they didn't complain, did they? No. Jesus said, go get the rest of the food. In fact, later on in the verse, you'll see what Jesus said. Hey, where's that food I told y'all to get? Oh, we forgot it. What? Servers get served last. My life is a miracle. I could be here all day, but Mike would not like how long it would take. But there are so many miracles in my life that God performed. One of them, the miracle of just calling me to be a minister. I mean, I was like, what? 15 years old. Called me to be a minister, and just throughout my life, all the things I had to do. But one of the toughest parts in my life is going last. Meaning, serving, getting to church before everybody, staying in the church after everybody, making sure everybody was okay, working with them, doing whatever. I was in a situation where our church began to grow, but we had a lot of poor people. Y'all probably don't know about poor people. I mean, had a big congregation, and we were growing, and the reason I said poor, because we had to make some decisions at the church. Are we going to continue to grow? Or we're going to live within the money we had. I mean, it's not unlike you and your family. You have to make some financial sacrifices. The financial sacrifices is that our ministry was growing. We were bringing on staff. But the money wasn't keeping up with us. And I made a decision not to get paid. That's a tough decision to make. I saw what God was doing. I couldn't look at my staff and say, I'm sorry, we can't pay you. We certainly didn't want to mess with not paying the bills. Couldn't do that. Didn't want to mess up our credit rating. And I remember telling our treasurer that was saying, Pastor, who gets paid? I said, pay everybody but me. Well, that's okay. You know, you're feeling real good as you say that. But then a week turned into months. And God can strike me dead if I'm telling you an untruth. Month turned into years. I would go to my treasurer and say, do we have enough to pay me? Well, we could pay you out of this, but then we won't be able to take care of that. I said, what? And every now and then I would get a check. Every now and then they would have some type of function to raise money for me. Now, the whole church didn't know this. That's, you know, we were keeping it among ourselves, is that what the church said they would pay me and what they paid me, we didn't have enough to do ministry. And I don't know anything about the ministry here. I hope you're paying your clergy. Please. Greg, if you hear me, if they not, come tell me. But the pressure of making sure you do ministry and pay staff is just something that pray for your leadership. And so I would go back on every other week. We got paid every other week. You have enough? Well, we can give you part of this or a little bit of that. And eventually, I was on what they call the IP payment plan, the IP payment plan, the IP payment plan. Anybody know what the IP payment plan is? If the saints come to church, if they give, if they tithe, if we have a blessing from the Lord, then you get paid. That's a lot of pressure. So I would come in and say, did the saints give? Nah. Did we get a special blessing? No. I said, okay. And then after a while, I know this was the Holy Spirit.